Hello to all of you. My name is David Thompson from the Fraser Valley in British Columbia. This is a message to the churches throughout the world, especially in the United States where I am and in Canada, in this time of such serious crisis. We need to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us as individuals and corporately as assemblies across these nations. And so I am here to speak with authority under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to waken the body of Christ up. I will seek to speak as it commands in 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. This is further clarified in Revelations 19:10, which says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." When we worship God in spirit and in truth, in great humility and reverence, we are filled with the Spirit of God to an overflow beyond ourselves that brings forth creative expressions which are from God, that are the words that are coming from God. And that testifies to the reality of God, Yahweh, in Jesus Christ. As stated in Revelations 19:10, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy, which comes out of worship. It testifies of Jesus Christ. And so I will seek to speak prophetically what God is wanting to say by His Spirit by being in a heart set and a mindset of worship. And what I do to facilitate that is very little preparation. I choose two chapters from the Word of God. Actually, I don't choose them. I do it by the casting of lot using two independent applications that randomize any possible chapter in the Bible. Why two chapters? Because then those two chapters confirm one another, confirming that the casting of the lot is of the Lord, as is described in Proverbs, the last verse of Proverbs chapter 16, I believe verse 33. The casting of the lot and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And of course, we do see it extensively used in the Old Testament, by Moses, by Joshua, by Solomon, by David, for many things. It was also used by the early church to choose who would take the place of Judas. It was extensively used by the Moravians, a powerful movement of revival in church history that went on for about 100 years. They even chose their wives that way. If this is done presumptuously and you're not walking in a right relationship with God and you have sin in your life, this will never work. In fact, then it might be divination. So I warn against anyone that would do this irreverently, and not everyone's called to do this. But this is how God is using me, to facilitate hearing and receiving what God is saying to us as individuals and to the body of Christ. And so I want to share with you that I also choose a hymn out of a hymn book of 1,080 hymns, which is from throughout church history, but also has many hymns from the underground church that was severely persecuted during the days of Watchman A, who was martyred for his faith. And so this hymn book is a wonderful hymn book. You can get it probably online if you look up Living Stream Ministry. It is one of the best. And I found that many of their songs are on YouTube there, and beautifully there, to be able to be used, even in a congregation, to sing with. And so I will share with you now the hymn that I received today, and we will worship together with this hymn first before I get into the two chapters, which I don't know what I'm going to be sharing from those two chapters fully, but they certainly have been consistently, way beyond coincidence, being confirming each other. As I have I should also mention to you that I now do messages every single day where I do this, where I cast lots. The only difference is that today, which is Sunday, May the 8th of 2022, I do it on Sundays on video, which I also do take the audio out of the video to put it on my podcast. But all the other days of the week, it is just audio podcast, and I will be getting it spread more and more on social media. But you only have to go to my website at loverealized.com, where I have instructions as to how you can get the Podbean app on your phone and listen to these messages. Because many of these messages I do on audio are very powerful, and I'm amazed at how God puts everything together by the casting of lot. And so I want to share with you what I received today. First of all, we'll sing this song of worship. Okay. So we'll bring that up now and begin it. Great price was paid. Love pays a great price. It says that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So I want to share with you what I received today on Sunday. I received Job 19 and Mark 15. And I will share with you also, after I go into this, more or less what was being brought forth throughout the week. And so we will go to Job 19 and just read certain portions of Job 19 first. It says, I called my servant and he gave me no answer. This is Job speaking to those that were supposed to comfort him, but were condemning him. And It says, I called my servant and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward or close friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? And we continue on. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And I'm surprised that I didn't have the verse that comes right after that. So we'll turn to that right now in Job 19. That's around verse 25, 26. And then it goes on here and it says here, after that, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, though my motivations, even the ability to have motivation right now has been consumed, to make choices has been consumed. He knew that that would happen. Yes, Job strongly believed in the resurrection of the dead. And so I rejoice that out of great death, when we persevere and have a relationship with God and we learn to trust him through those trials, comes, as it did with Job, a great, mighty blessing, far greater than anything he had before he went through this trial. God restored to him a family and wealth and riches way greater. A family way greater, wealth and riches, friends way greater after him going through this time of great trial and testing that God allowed to happen in his life. Well, the other passage I received was on the crucifixion of Christ. And so we will read a few of those verses. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And of course, there's a lot more that we read in this passage, and how the earth split open, and the temple was rent in twain, and there was darkness that came upon the whole land for 3 hours, which has also been borne witness by various, one particular historian, which I forget his name now, I don't think it was Josephus, although it could have been, that describes from another geographical location the same phenomena in the middle of when there should be daylight, this darkness coming over everything. And the centurion, when he heard the cry of Christ as he left his physical body, he said, Truly, this was the Son of God. And as he cried out, the earth split open. And it also says that there were many that came out of their graves at that time. God is saying to his people in this hour that if you are those that love him, you will be chastised. You will be allowed to be refined and tested. And you may experience something as severe as Job has experienced. What is God seeking through these things? He is seeking to bring us into a relationship with Him that is invincible in a bond of love, that is triumphant, that will display the greatness of His glory. And at this time, God is wanting His people to learn to have such a fear of God, a reciprocation of the being of who God is, which is what happens when you choose to genuinely fear God. I talked about that I preached about that in the message yesterday. And I mentioned how it's because the message yesterday was on the blessedness of God upon those to whom He will not impute sin. And why is that? It is because they have a repentant heart. It is because that repentant heart has been birthed out of the genuine fear of God, which is what brings, in the first place, genuine conversion. Just need to have a drink of water here. The other thing that comes out of suffering and testing is great authority. It was after Christ was in the wilderness, tempted of Satan severely, and He went through a great trial of testing there, verifying that He is God through it, because He is God, that He came out in the power of the Spirit of God. I know in my own life, I am going through right now, I've been going through this month of May particularly, a time of very great testing. I'm not going to tell you all about it here, but I'm beginning to see that God is answering my prayers. And I'm learning to rest in Him through this trial when it's very easy to panic because it seems like you're facing the Red Sea and that there's no way that sea is going to open and that you're just going to have this area in your life taken out where you don't know what's going to happen. But as it was in the time of Moses, Moses got on his face before God. He didn't panic, and God gave him instruction. And when he stretched out that rod, there was power and authority that came out of that rod. And that rod is symbolic also of the scepter of authority that He wants to give His people, and of the sword of the Spirit that He wants to have come out of our mouth in authority. But there are many people nowadays that teach that we can just proclaim things and they'll come to pass. Brothers and sisters, there is a certain truth in that. But be on guard against presumption. Because if we are not those that have bought of Him the gold that is tried in the fire, we are not going to speak out of a union with God, out of a deep communion with God, out of the Spirit of God, because it is only as we speak out of the Spirit of God, which is the true spirit of prophecy, that there can come such authority. And God is calling His people to choose to buy of Him the gold that is tried in the fire. Have you prayed that prayer? I choose to buy of You the gold tried in the fire. Heavenly Father, I choose to be Your love slave. I'm captured by the beauty of Your love. Your love that's so pure and holy, that it is a blazing fire of judgment against all that is contrary to love, that it is very severe on sin. And I don't see that as something that is terrible, but as something that is so beautiful and wonderful, that Your love is that pure, that You are that severe on me, yes, on me, to purify me of all the deception and the dross in my life. There's none that have not gone through that process, that have chosen to be His servants. You only have to look at the lives of the patriarchs, the tests that Abraham went through, the tests that Job went through, the tests that Joseph went through. It says of Joseph, until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Paul the Apostle said to the early church, that you know that it is the will of God that you go through great tribulation. It says, after you have suffered a while, he will strengthen, establish, and settle you. He wants to bring you into such a deep union with him. You know, when we have a deep love relationship with God, we also will have a deep love relationship with our brothers and sisters. If we have really experienced genuine conversion, it will be manifest in a right spirit that allows that blessedness so that it can be said of us, as it was of David, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Job was going through a process of coming out of his own righteousness into the righteousness of God. He said, "I have heard of you with the hearing of my ear, but now my eye sees you. The eye of my heart sees and perceives you aright, more than I've ever seen you or known you before." He questioned God. It wasn't yet in him to have an unconditional trust. But God brought him into a place of unconditional trust in him. As it says in the Word of God and a few places in the Scripture, it says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." When Christ was on the cross, he trusted the Father. He never lost his union with the Father. Yes, he experienced the forsaking judgment of God, but his spirit was totally in union with the Father. He was trusting the Father. He did not shrink into a state of rebellion when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was the opposite. He was saying, my God, I don't understand, but I surrender to you." That's what his heart was saying. "I surrender to you when it's even hard for me to comprehend why I would have to go through such humiliation and pain." But it was for a purpose, and he knew what that purpose was. It was for the joy that was set before him that he endured this. He knew that he was going to bring forth this beautiful corporate bride. And of course, the song that we sung today was on us being willing to pay the price to see the glory of God in the land of the living. King David said, "I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the glory of God in the land of the living." And King David also said that, "I won't give my eyes any rest, and I will not be at peace until I find a dwelling place for the Almighty Yahweh, the Almighty's One." Yahweh, the Almighty's, as it said in the original Hebrew in the Old Testament, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His delight was to worship God in the beauty of holiness. He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold what the beauty that comes out of that pure, integrous love that is transcendent in mercy." And I often have mentioned that the genuine fear of God is a deep turning in the heart that's far more than intellectual. It is a choice that involves the deep turning of the heart to recognize God as the ultimate trustworthiness, which is only in the recognition of a love that is totally integrous and will not allow corruption. That is what our conscience knows innately, that what is good must judge what is not good so that good prevails. And that points to the ultimate good, who is God. And God is calling us to return back to the genuine fear of God, till we know what it is to be in such awe and reverence before God that our heart breaks. The hardness in our heart breaks and melts, and our heart is soft and pliable, so that when someone would reprove us, as happened to King David with Nathan the prophet, we will not harden our heart. We will humble ourselves and repent so that we can receive God's blessing in receiving us because we've repented. You cannot come to God unless you have a heart that is repentant. It says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's talking about people coming to God with a heart that wants to receive God, because the heart is desirous to be forgiven. It is repentant. It is recognizing their undoneness in the light of such holiness. And until you know how good the holiness of God is in its severity, how can you know the greatness of his mercy? The perfection of God's love is in the integrity of his love, which is his holiness. But the ultimate aspect of this perfection is in his mercy, that he could become a perfect atoning sacrifice on the cross for us. And there on the cross, have an unconditional trust in the Father, where his spirit was in a state of selflessness. It did not become corrupt, in a state of rebellion. And it says in Romans 1:4 that he rose from the dead by the Spirit of holiness. It's talking about the Spirit of holiness in Jesus Christ. It was totally pure and a selfless trust, even though he experienced the forsaking of God's presence. His union, because he is God, could not be broken. God always had in his being, in the infinite past, those two qualities of love, that he could actually condescend and yes, that God is so great that he could condescend to his creation and become a perfect atoning substitutionary sacrifice, and suffer more than you, a mere creature, and humble himself more than you, a mere creature. And it should be that that never becomes something of a familiarity with us. It should be that we know such a melting and a breaking in our hearts before God, as we are still and in awe of who he is in our midst. Now, this song that we sung today was about us having a burden for his bride to come forth, for his glory to come forth in a corporate bride that would love God, that would reveal his glory on the earth, so that the whole earth would come, those that would turn to him in repentance, in a great harvest of souls. And that is what God is seeking in these last days, is to restore his corporate bride, to fulfill John 17. And I can tell you, I'm beginning to experience God visit me in the night, and I'm feeling his authority come into me. I've never had that before. I've never had that before. I've not been visited by God yet where I've had an angel visit me or anything like that, but I'm feeling his authority come into me, because I have been crying day and night for God to restore his church. How can the church ever go back to just having another church service, when we see what is happening before us on the verge of possible nuclear exchange, on the verge of tyranny taking over the world? Man, if you're watching the fake news, you're deceived. And I'm shocked as a Christian that you would not be in such a place with God that you would have found out these things. Just go to my website at loverealized.com or ultimatemeaning.com, where I have links on the homepage to news sources that will expose all that's going on with COVID, the millions of people that are dying because of it. The agenda there is for a global communistic government, and I can't go into explaining all that right now. But when this, what does the Word of God say? It says that when the enemy comes in like the flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And we are on the verge of that right now. And God is zealous for his bride. And I feel his authority rising up in me as I've been crying out while I'm driving my car and so on, saying, Lord, where are believers that want to come together and pray and make your house a house of prayer, your house a house of holiness? I'm tired of being at churches where the people that are preaching the word of God are even boring to listen to. There's such a lack of creativity in the church. Creativity comes out of the spirit of prophecy, in songs that are spontaneous, that we don't even know what we're going to sing. We just sing out, and they come forth in a beautiful, sometimes poetic way. creativity comes out of moving in a deep union with God, individually and corporately. And God is calling his people in this hour to choose to buy of him the gold that is tried in the fire, to not be deceived by false prosperity teaching that equates godliness with material gain, and that's where their focus is, and that's where their emphasis is. And that is a wrong focus, and that is a wrong emphasis. The emphasis should be to recognize that God has chosen the poor as those that are rich and heirs of the kingdom of God. Was Elijah rich? I don't think so. But he was rich in God. He could cause the oil to multiply for a poor widow. He could cause the axe head to swim, not him, but God working through him. And God is calling his people in this hour to wake up. And I feel his authority rising in me to literally start telling some of these pastors, you better wake up. Because if you don't wake up, you're in the way of what God's doing. And he's going to move you out of the way. Because he wants his people to come together and become his house of prayer and holiness in every community across this nation of Canada and across the nation of the United States. And if you think God is pleased with people that watch hours and hours of sports and they don't pray, you are deceived and you are hard in your heart because you're in love with the world. Am I saying that if you watch a little bit of sports because you want to relax, that you've committed a sin? No. I don't want to bring you under condemnation, but on the one hand, I want to warn you, just like people are warned, not to drink wine that are alcoholics in case they stumble into it. How many people stumble into these things and they spend hours on the gods of amusement, or they spend hours seeking to make money, and they've been deceived and they're robbing themselves? Pay the price to put the kingdom of God first and to spend hours in prayer and sacrifice that really high-paying job for a far lesser high-paying job so that you can be used of God in these last days. Am I saying that that's true in every case? God may allow some people for a season to pursue something as long as they know they are seeking first the kingdom of God and that their heart is not in riches. Because once you've found pleasure in God and in a deep love union with God, you never want to go back to loving the world. It's shallow, it's empty compared to the subjective experience that you have with Christ. God called me about a year and 8 months or something like that ago. It was back 2 Octobers ago. And he just wooed me with love. I was praying an hour and a half back then. All my life I've been praying an hour and a half. And he said, Dave, if you want greater victory in your life, if you want to have a deeper union with me and a love relationship with me, do you think you might? Why don't you pray double? Why don't you pray 3 hours? You know what? I was so desperate. I said, yes. Yes, I'm going to do whatever it takes, God. Because I want to be close to you in these last days. And I want to see many people get saved. And I want to see your bride come forth and shine bright so that multitudes see the glory of God in your people. You know, without a vision, the people perish. I have a real burden. And the word of God says that we're to give him no rest until Jerusalem goes forth as a torch that burns. And I'm not talking just about the Jerusalem in Israel. Far more, I'm talking about your local congregation, your church. People complain about the prayer meeting. Oh, there's hardly anyone that comes to the prayer meeting. Why in the world isn't your church service a prayer meeting? It should start as a prayer meeting. People should be on their faces. Far better to have a four-hour church service once a day than two church services in the morning and in the evening, where you get on your face before God and you seek him until his presence and glory comes down and you are in awe of his presence, until you feel that love baptizing you to the point that you're filled with tears of joy and joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many brothers and sisters nowadays wash one another's feet and humble themselves before one another And then they wonder why there's division in your church. I'll tell you why division happens. It's because of hardness of heart. That's what causes adultery, is hardness of heart. That's what, because the world is in adultery with the loves of the world, it brings hardness of heart, which causes also more adultery in a church. And it also causes division. But when you go and you humble yourself before your brother and before your sister, the one that you find the most difficult to love, that may have offended you far more than maybe you've not offended them at all, you go to them and you humble yourself before them and you say, "Brother, I have this fault," or, "Sister, I have this fault. Will you pray for me? And I appreciate this in you, brother. I appreciate this in you. Let me wash your feet." And love will cover a multitude of sins. I'm not saying that you shouldn't reprove your brother if he sinned against you. It does say that that we're to reprove him, and if he repents, to forgive him. But I am saying also that the way you win someone is by learning to lay down your life before them as Christ laid down his life for us. And he took all that misunderstanding, and he was mocked, and yet he still loved them and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And God wants us to be baptized with that kind of love in these last days for one another. He's calling us to wash one another's feet, spiritually at least, and I would say do it literally. Christ emphasized it. It'll help break down the hardness. And God wants us to be knit together and to bring forth this bride church as never before, a church of holiness. Now, I have written a book, and there's a better vision on the internet, version on the internet than this one. And you can get it in electronic as well on Kindle. It's called Godheadship and Body Invasion. And it has many suggestions in there so that you will not, as an assembly, limit the fullness of the headship of Christ in your assembly. God wants far greater creativity coming forth. When I see pastors getting up and all they have is, why in the world are they not moving in a preaching that comes out of worship, out of the spirit of prophecy, that comes with authority and power, but also with great humility and tears sometimes? I'm asking you to wake up. God is calling his people, even on a long weekend, to come together in your community for 3 days of fasting and prayer and get really desperate before God and begin to seek him. Maybe some of you can even do an Esther fast if you're physically up to it. Maybe many of you can. But he's calling us to wake up and seek him as never before. And there's no reason the churches can't get together in your community and city, and that there can't be the mobilization of this at this hour to seek God as never before, because we are on the verge of having our nation severely judged by God unless the church wakes up. And so I'm calling the church to wake up and repent of loving material gain, repent of the gods of amusement, to repent of not of limiting the fullness of the headship of Christ from inhabiting your local assembly. What are you doing, just letting everything be run at the front there by the leadership? That's not how God runs the body. You come together on your faces and you become more conscious of Christ in your midst. And you allow people to fully move in the gifts of the Spirit. And you don't care if there's a mess a bit here and there where people are out. You let God have his way. He will prevail through it as you seek him first in prayer. And out of that prayer comes worship and the gifts of the Spirit, and then beautiful songs that are sung in worship unto God. And then the pastor speaks towards the end after his message has been confirmed by the spirit of prophecy. But this creativity, people don't, even the songs they sing, many of them are boring nowadays. They don't have depth and meaning. And they sing often the same songs over and over. That's not going to happen here. That's not going to happen when God restores his church. They're going to have their own songs that they create as well, a whole book of their own songs. And songs like this in this hymn book that have depth and meaning in them. and that challenge us to embrace the cross of God's great love. And so I'm calling his people to return to the genuine fear of God, and to return to their first love. And he will pour out a great blessing, because there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I have seen churches that were once in fire, and now I've noticed that certain people in leadership are never there anymore. There's obviously been division. I've seen pastors get up of churches that I've attended, and they're not preaching in power and authority. They're boring. They're not challenging the people. They're not awake or alive. You just had a beautiful worship where you moved in the gift of prophecy and then you got a boring message. Wake up. We need to repent. God's calling those that are in leadership to seek him as never before, to be in a love relationship with him as never before, to be totally moving in great humility and authority before the congregation. May it be so. So hear this cry. God bless you all. You can support me by getting this book. I will be having an amazing book come out on life after death in the near future. It's very in-depth, very well researched and sourced. But that's not for now. In the meantime, I face a crisis here with a situation that should work out, but I don't know how it's going to work out. So I'm just praying that you would support me in this time of real genuine financial need, as well as I am in control of things still. I mean, I do have, but it won't last much longer if I don't get on with things. So I'm just trusting God. I'm not concerned. I know I have total assurance that God's in control, because I know there's nothing I haven't repented of in my life. So God bless you all. And I'm looking forward to connections with people. I believe God's now going to begin to speak with authority. And if pastors don't listen and they rebel, they're in trouble. If you think you can be responsible over a flock of sheep and let that church be half-baked and just be satisfied with going so far and not paying the price, you're standing in the way. So please humble yourself and seek God and let him have his full way, because he has a great blessing for every pastor that humbles himself in the genuine fear of God and says, yes, Lord, I want everything you have for me. I want the fullness of the abundance of life that you promised I can have in this world, not in riches, not in wealth, but in a relationship with you. And yes, there may be some riches and wealth if you don't find your pleasure in those things and you want to just serve God with it. So God bless you all. Thank you for listening to this message.